Merry Christmas. Today, officially and liturgically, is the last day of Christmas. In fact, in Dearborn County, Christmas will end after the 11 o'clock Mass today. So about 12 o'clock, it's over. It has been an amazing Christmas season, and I'm delighted to have celebrated it with all of you. As you entered Mass today, you should have received this small piece of paper, and I have a custom that during Advent and Lent, I always invite people to write down what they're going to be doing during the Lent and Advent seasons to grow in a deeper relationship with our Lord. There's very clear data on a lot of this stuff, but you are 60% more likely to accomplish a goal if you just write it down. You're 90% more likely to accomplish a goal if you write it down and you look at it every single day. So I always have the custom on during Advent and Lent to have people write down their goals or their desires for Advent, for Lent, and then we collect them and we place them at the feet of our Blessed Mother, or we place them somewhere in the church. And at the end of those liturgical seasons, so at the end of the Christmas season, at the end of the Easter season, I ask people then to write down the question, so what happened? Like in our lives, there should always be a cause and an effect relationship. If I pray the rosary every day for the Advent and Christmas season, then at the end of that season, I should be a different person, right? So I think a great question is, like, where did I encounter the Lord? What grace did I receive throughout this Advent and Christmas season? I think these are things that we should, if we don't, oftentimes I think if we're not asked the question, we never take the time to actually process it. For those of you who have ever been on a retreat or things of those sorts and you get put in a small group, which for me is like torture, but for some of you, that's like your life. You like that's like your favorite thing in the whole entire world. For some people, like public sharing is like literally like, so they, like their vision of hell is like when someone says like, hey, we're going to break into small groups and share about our feelings and emotions. And they're just like, get me out of here. But the reason why small groups are actually really, really important is that they force you to actually process what you've experienced, what's happened in your life. So I encourage you to fill those out. This is the most appropriate time to do that during my homily so that you don't get bored. And then we'll collect those at the normal offertory, and then we'll bundle them up and we'll put them by baby Jesus. Our trees were taken down, by the way, because they started drying out a little bit and we were wanting to be safe. But our nativity scene will stay up until February 2nd, which is the 40th day after our Lord's birth. And we know from the Bible, it clearly says that on the 40th day of our Lord's birth, he was presented in the temple by Mary and Joseph. And that's where, of course, where the great prophets Simeon and Anna come into the story. And we want to be biblically correct here. So we'll keep our nativity scene up until February the 2nd. Now for my homily. What if I told you that your nativity scene was biblically inaccurate? What if I told you that your nativity scene is biblically inaccurate? Some of you might be going through your mind, but that's because kings and shepherds are there at the same time, because of Mark's Matthew Gospels and Luke's Gospel, or maybe it's the fact that there actually is no cow and donkey actually in the biblical passages about our Savior's birth. Those are actually true. But follow where I'm going. Today we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, and many people might ask themselves a question, why is the baptism of the Lord the last of the Christmas feasts? So I'd like to try to explain that, and it's going to ultimately end up at our Lord's birth. When we look at what baptism is, we profess in our creed that we believe in one baptism. You only need to be baptized once. And there's a reason for that, because you were only born once. Just as you are naturally born into the world, so you're spiritually born into the world as well. Baptism uses one element. There's only one thing necessary for baptism, and that's called water. And there's three natural things that we use water for, or we could say that water brings about. Three things. One, it cleanses things. Two, it brings life. And three, it brings death. It cleanses, it brings life, and it brings death. So let's just practically break these down, right? The majority of you hopefully washed your face this morning. Maybe you already washed the dishes. But water clearly is used for washing, right? Amen? Water also brings life. Nothing exists without water. That's alive. If you don't water your Christmas tree, what happens? It dies. If you don't water your plants, what happens? They die. And in fact, if you don't water your own body, what happens to your own body? You will die. Dehydration is real. You get sick if you don't hydrate your body. You die eventually if you don't hydrate. Nothing can exist without water. Water is life. But water is also death. What is one of the greatest fears that parents have of their children? And for those of you who have known a parent who has lost a child to drowning, it is tragic. When we look back at Hurricane Katrina, which is so fresh in my mind, I took 5 mission trips down to Hurricane Katrina to do hurricane relief ministry back in 2005, 2006, 2007 actually as well. Water brings death. It cleanses, it brings life, and it brings death. Well, the reality is that so does baptism. We know that baptism washes away our sins. But baptism also brings birth and it brings death. So Jesus' baptism, when we look at Jesus, does Jesus need any of those 3 things, by the way? I mean, Jesus is the Son of God. So does Jesus have any sins that need to be forgiven? So he doesn't need to be baptized. He has no sins to be forgiven. Does Jesus need eternal life to be given to him? Does Jesus have a former way of life that he needs to die to? Because that's what we got. That's why we're baptized. We're baptized to have our sins forgiven. We're baptized to be born into God's family, to be born again. To be baptized is to be born again into God's family, but it's also at the same time to die to our former way of life. So baptism is a birth and a death. Does Jesus need to die to a former way of life? No. So why is Jesus baptized? Jesus is baptized because he is a leader, and good leaders always do. And set an example for those who are following them. Good leaders will always do whatever they are asking others to follow after them. Jesus is baptized to set an example of what he wants for you and for I. He sanctifies the water of the Jordan. He goes into the water of the Jordan so that the waters of the Jordan are sanctified and that we ourselves will then follow after him. In what? In having our sins washed away, in being born again and into his family and dying to our former way of life. And the reality is that this, my brothers and sisters, is Bethlehem. Fulton J. Sheen, one of the greatest preachers, has said this: every baptism is Bethlehem. Every baptism is Bethlehem. Every single time that someone is baptized, whether they are an infant or whether they are 99 years old in a hospital on life support asking for baptism, it is Bethlehem, because God the Father looks down and sees his son. He sees his child and he falls in love again. Every single time that someone is baptized, it is Bethlehem, because that individual is born again, is remade and recreated in the image and the likeness of God. On the day of your baptism, you were made not just a child of God, you were made the child of God. You are not just one of God's many children. God loves you individually and would have been crucified solely for you, which means that he also was born solely for you. Christmas is not some generic sense that God was born for all of mankind. No, he was born specifically for you. And on the day of your baptism, God and all of heaven rejoiced. And thus, our baptism, our entrance into the waters of eternal life, are Bethlehem. Now, they're also Calvary. Because it wasn't just Jesus' birth that brought his salvation, it was ultimately his death. Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born as an infant so that he could endure and suffer death. Wrapped around these walls here at historic St. Mary's are the Stations of the Cross. This baby was born to die. This baby was born to be condemned, to carry a cross, to be nailed to a cross, and to be buried in a tomb and then rise again 3 days later. So it is really his birth, his death, and his resurrection that we encounter in our own baptism. So why was Jesus baptized? To set an example for you and for I. So a great question for every single one of us this morning. Do I live my baptism? And then ask yourselves three questions. When was the last time I had my sins washed away? When was the last time I repented of my sins? When was the last time I truly examined my life and said, I'm naming my sins? When was the last time since your baptism that you've been to confession? Because water is cleansing. Second question, how do I live as a reborn, as a born child of God? Do I live differently than the rest of the world? Or do I live like everybody else? Is my life any different than the person who lives next to me that's not baptized? Is an atheist? An agnostic? How does my baptism call me to live my life differently? Washing, birth, and death. Have I died to my former self? Have I died to my habits, my addictions, my struggles? Has my baptism, has Christ's baptism, where I followed him into the waters because he's my leader, led me to live my life differently? Every baptism is a Bethlehem. Every baptism is washing death and life. I start off by making a premise saying that your nativity scenes are actually scripturally inaccurate. I then went on to explain that it's not the fact that both the kings and the shepherds are in the same scene. It's not the fact that there's an ox and an ass. So you might ask the question, well, how is my nativity scene scripturally inaccurate? In the Gospel of Luke, we read this. When the angels go and greet the shepherds, they tell them the sign that they should look for is an infant laying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. You may not know this, but my family are collectors of nativity scenes. I have in my lifetime seen literally thousands and thousands of nativity scenes. That is not an exaggeration. And I would say 98% of them are inaccurate because Jesus is not wrapped in swaddling clothes. And this is a very clear and conscious decision by artists. But we don't think about it. Think about your nativity scene at home right now. What does your baby Jesus look like? Look at our nativity scene over here. What does our baby Jesus look like? What are swaddling clothes, my brothers and sisters? I mean, the Bible clearly says you'll find an infant lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. What are swaddling clothes? It's when you literally tie and wrap your baby really, 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 really tight. Their arms can't move. Their legs can't move. Swaddling clothes would look something like this. But artists don't depict baby Jesus like this. How do artists depict baby Jesus? Like this. And now look at the cross behind me. Artists began depicting baby Jesus like he is on the cross, in a loincloth, with his arms stretched out. Because water is cleansing, water is birth, and water is death. Water is cleansing, water is birth, but water is death. Every baptism is a Bethlehem, every baptism is Calvary, and every baptism is an empty tomb. Every baptism is Bethlehem, every baptism is Calvary, and every baptism is an empty tomb. You, my brothers and sisters, have been born again. You have died with Christ on Calvary, but you are also invited to rise again with him to new life. Jesus' baptism, interesting as it is another time when our Lord wore a loincloth and entered into the waters of the Jordan to bring us life. Let's pray for that grace to enter into the waters with him and to live our life, our baptism to the full, and in doing so, to become the saints of his kingdom. Through God's grace, may it be so.